Hola, my name is Daniela Levine Cava.
Hola, my name is. Hola, my name is. Hola. Hola, my name is.
My name is. My name is. My name is.
Mayor Daniela Levine Cava is Miami-Dade County's first ever female mayor, elected in November 2002 to oversee a metropolitan government of over 28,000 employees and a budget of $9 million serving 3 million residents, and I'm one of them, all during a pandemic, subsequent employment crisis, food insecurity, record high gasoline prices, rising rental and housing costs, looming learning losses, and mental health crisis issues when it comes to our kids because of the past 2 years of interrupted instruction due to the pandemic. And we haven't even touched all the international concerns that affect Miami, of course, our very diverse immigrant demographic. I can go on forever to talk about Daniela Levine Cava, but it's better if she tells us the story. Madam Mayor, thank you for welcoming me in here in your awesome, great office with a view.
Thank you, Enrique. Yes, it's a beautiful office. I'm on the 29th floor. Really, really proud to be the first female mayor of Miami-Dade County.
When Daniela was a little girl, what did she want to do when she grew up?
Well, when I started thinking about things like that, I wanted to work with children. And I thought I wanted to be an elementary school principal. That was my dream job. Later, I learned that to be a principal, I'd have to be a teacher first. And that is really hard. So I figured out that I wasn't going to be such a great teacher, so I'd have to find another path.
Why would you think you weren't going to be a great teacher?
Well, I had an opportunity to work with some teenage girls once, and they ran me ragged. it takes not only a lot of knowledge, but just a very calm and confident style. It was intimidating to me.
Who inspired you when you were young?
Certainly my mom. My mom is the person who's always shown kindness, compassion to everybody. And from an early age, I was helping her on volunteer projects. She went back to graduate school, became a mental health therapist. Actually, she is a psychoanalyst. So she went far in her training and helped many, many families and children especially.
What's been the biggest challenge now in this new role of yours?
Yeah. Well, first, let me say it's $9 billion budget.
$9 billion. Yes. I was just a couple zeros short.
Just
maybe.
A couple. So I'm sorry about that. With a billion. I just want to make that super clear.
Thanks for correcting me.
The biggest challenge, we have many challenges here in this community. We have a fantastic community. We mm-hmm. are paradise. We have the weather. We have the location. We have the dynamic diversity. We have an entrepreneurial spirit. We do also have climate change and sea level rise. We also have an economy that, while it's booming, doesn't always lift everybody up along with that
together
rise.
Together at the same time, right?
Yes, exactly. And right now, our biggest really hot button issue is the cost of housing.
Yes.
So we are unfortunately growing in mm-hmm. our salaries, but our housing costs are growing faster.
Let's get right into it and talk about that. Before becoming mayor, you served as a special needs and low income. You serve special needs and low income families, as well as immigrant families through legal services of Greater Miami. I know you're a person that cares. You're a people mm-hmm. person. You care about people,
yeah.
And you listen to people. And people have been complaining. They've been out here in front of the government mm-hmm. center mm-hmm. Talking about the rising rent cost. And it concerns a lot of people, a
Absolutely.
Lot of evictions, and a lot of, especially people from the de la tercera edad, our older folks that are mm-hmm. retired. What more can we do besides this new law that you've just...
Yes. So we're going to formally introduce this law that was right. passed at the commission that gives at least people 60 days notice if they are going to face a rent increase of more than 5%. And this just gives them a little chance to plan. But it is still devastating because there really aren't many options. If you have to go, mm-hmm. where are you
right.
going to go? And we know we're losing our workforce. They are saying we just don't have any options here. So we want to bring together the employers, the developers, the cities, and all of us together say this truly is a crisis and we all have to do our part. We have 14,000 units of affordable housing under construction.
Is that enough?
In my day, no. by no means is that enough. We're also gathering funding from public and private sources to be able to subsidize more housing to keep it affordable. And we have county property that we can use that we need to deploy in a big way. We have to be denser, especially along transit corridors, because traffic is another problem. We need people to get on the bus or get on the metro rail or the mover. So we are encouraging people, incentivizing people to build up, not always out. Mm-hmm. We also are reducing the cost of construction. We're reducing the time for permitting construction. And we're looking at everything we can possibly do to bring down the cost and to help people. We prevented 9,000 evictions. We had federal funding, and we're going to be getting more to make sure that if people are affected by the pandemic and can't pay the rent, that we can pay the landlords directly to keep them in their homes.
Will this help come fast enough for these families and these people in need?
All of that is under development. We've certainly prevented those evictions. But if the rents go up, we are somewhat without any means to stop it. We do have a program to encourage landlords who need to make repairs, that they can take our low-interest loans in return for keeping rents affordable. So any landlords listening that have a property and they're thinking, oh, this is a great time, we'll just jack up the rents and fix up the property. No, please don't do that. Call us at the county. We will give you access to some dollars so you can fix it up and allow people to stay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this sounds very familiar, like when we have hurricanes, and we're very used to hurricanes here in South Florida. We know people that take advantage of mm-hmm. others that are in need during a crisis. Is this similar to like price gouging? Where, you know, homeowners or people that own apartments and stuff, landlords can just start increasing prices randomly on their tenants?
Yeah, so, you know, we have a very strong property rights philosophy in Florida, and the tenants don't have very many rights when it comes to that. I do think for some landlords, they are using this as an opportunity because the demand is so high to go way beyond what they really need to cover their carrying costs and a profit. So we want them to be able to maintain their property sure. and make a living. That's why they purchased the property. But we really want to ask them for restraint. Again, all of us depend on the workforce. If our workforce leaves, we're all going to be high and dry.
Hola, my name is. Hola, my name is. Hola, my name is. Hola, my name is.
Madam Mayor, your leadership was tested early on here in this office with the collapse of the Champlain Tower in Surfside. What did you learn personally from that experience?
Mm. Oh, I learned so much, Enrique. I learned that we have incredible, incredible people in the county that know what to do in an emergency, and they will give it their all. I was so very proud of our firefighters, our police officers, so many other departments as well that stepped up, showing incredible compassion and expertise during that terrible, terrible time. I learned that it's so important to put the people directly affected first. We did a very good job of communicating every day directly what was going on with them first before the media, and making sure that they had all their questions answered. I learned that we need to do more to ensure that our buildings are safe. And in the county, we're one of only two counties that actually has a recertification process. At the state, they tried to pass the law and it did not go through, which is incredible given what we've learned from Surfside. We are continuing to strengthen our laws here in the county and work with everyone so they can feel confident.
I was there personally, and I got to see you in action, mm-hmm. working, very little sleep. How stressing mm-hmm. was that on you? So many days, so many weeks, mm-hmm. so many months.
You know, Enrique, I'll tell you this. It was like any crisis where, you know, the adrenaline flows and you do what you have to do. So I was working around the clock as the incident commander for this terrible tragedy. And other things had to wait, and other people took care of the things I would normally be doing as mayor. But it wasn't in the moment. I can't say it was stressful. It was just working hard and doing everything that needed to be done. But now, whenever I think about it or talk about it, it definitely brings to mind all of the emotion and very, you know, I guess I have a little post-traumatic stress.
Like, you do think that?
Yes, yeah. I do, because the moments were so incredibly important and the decisions so critically important. And I'll tell you, what we also had was we had the world watching, mm-hmm. cheering us on, mm-hmm. praying, so much incredible support from every corner. And that truly lifted us up every moment.
Well, I want to commend you. Your leadership style there was tested, and you proved that that you can handle it, and that you handled it with because I saw you talking to family members and then crossing the street talking to the media and the international media, because as you say, you know, the world was concerned, not just here in the United States, but again, so many people from so many different countries that lost a loved one and that were concerned for their loved ones there. It was really something, but it did prove that we were able to come together as a community, and Republicans, Democrats, from the governors and mayors, and everyone was together.
Yes. So that actually huge takeaway. We had a common adversary, which was to get this solved for the sake of all the people who were directly affected. There was no finger pointing. There was no blaming. It was all about getting the job done, coming together across the cities, the counties, the federal, state government. Incredible unity.
And even still, some people were very critical when they're watching this, and people, everyone has an opinion, you know? Mm. And what did we learn that maybe we can do better? I remember seeing, for example, first and foremost, our urban search and rescue team from Miami-Dade County, they're exceptional. And they've been through earthquakes and hurricanes here and in Haiti and in the Caribbean and Latin America. Some of them have even been, you know, the September 11th attack. So they're pros and they know what they're doing. There was a lot of criticism from the topos in Mexico because they wanted to come in and they want, but sometimes you can't have everybody in there. There was fires, you know, it was a very complicated situation.
We had help from Israel and from Mexico, teams that did come in and were very, very welcomed. And you do really have to manage the site. So again, I think a great job was done. Truthfully, yes, of course, there's always Monday night quarterback.
The quarterbacking, yes.
But we're doing a post-action report to strengthen our systems in the future. We learned, for example, that the coordination of the police and fire was critical. And now we're going to be in 2024 having a separate sheriff elected. And we mm-hmm. want to be sure that the county can have its own police forces to automatically be on site coordinating in these kinds of emergencies.
And this is a new thing for Dade County because the director is now part of your office.
Correct.
Could you explain that to us?
Yeah. So the police department and the fire department report up through to the mayor. And in the 2024 election, a sheriff will be elected. It remains to be seen how much of law enforcement will be under the sheriff and how much will stay with the county. And that will be a policy decision made by the county commission. We've already put together our suggestions from my administration, what we should do, how we should handle it. And we're hoping that the commission will go along with our proposal.
And an elected sheriff for Miami-Dade County is better than an appointed one. Why?
Well, I didn't vote for it, so I can't tell you that it's better. But I could tell you maybe the rationale. You know, they would say accountability. You elect someone. It's a high-profile office. I would say better accountability through a mayor because this person, you know, you don't have to wait 4 years.
Right.
So either they perform or they don't.
Or they don't.
Yeah. But it's been, we have a very high-quality police department recognized all over the country. People are very pleased with the community engagement, the quality of every aspect of our policing work. And so we've been told by across different perspectives that they really want to maintain as much of the police department as possible with county government because they're afraid of losing momentum, losing relationships, losing the trust that has been established.
Hola, my name is.
At the start of the Russian aggression, you immediately looked into all county contracts to ensure that there were no ties to Russia. What did you learn during that process?
We're still reviewing the contracts, and nobody has brought to my attention yet. I mentioned it yesterday at our Board of County Commission meeting that, you know, if something comes forward where there is a benefit to the Russian state, then we definitely are going to revise that contract. We do not want our county tax dollars being used to subsidize a warmonger, aggressor country.
The biggest challenge right now in Dade County?
So in the short term, our biggest challenge is housing, affordable housing. We really have to get a handle on that so we don't lose our workforce. As you said, our seniors, everybody is really reeling from this terrible problem. So we're really focusing on that. Obviously, salaries could go up and that would allow people to pay higher prices because salaries have gone up overall, but housing has gone up faster.
In closing here, I want to talk about this, the Don't Say Gay bill that we saw was just approved. Is that a step forward in 2022 or a step backwards?
In my opinion, it's medieval. We have people here who have been finally granted various freedoms. And in the state that brags about being so free, we've just told a bunch of people and their families, we didn't mean you. So I think it's really horrendous, sends a terrible message. And is really going to have a chilling effect in our schools and in our society.
Where did this get, maybe you might not have this answer. I'm trying to figure out where this got crossed up because when the governor explains that, he says, we never mentioned the words don't say gay. That got thrown in there. It's nowhere in the bill. But do we really need a bill to tell us and tell teachers that they shouldn't be talking to kindergartners from kindergarten to third grade? They shouldn't be talking about sex. Do we really need a law for that? I think that's just common sense, no?
Correct. It's just red meat for a political base in a contentious partisan climate. It's not necessary. It doesn't have any place in this county. And I say gay. Let me tell you a little story. A wonderful friend of mine who happens to be gay said to her children, what do you think about this law? And they said, Mom, we don't say gay. We say we have two moms.
Kids are clear on it. Clearer than us as adults.
Right.
We need to listen to them more.
We do. And that would be true for my grandchildren, too, because they have two moms.
Your message, obviously, you're Miami-Dade County Mayor. This is at a state level, but it does affect us. We're the biggest county in the state. Your message to LGBTQ plus youth that sees this and says, man, maybe I'm not welcome here. Maybe I'm not loved. Maybe I'm not understood as much as I thought I was or should be in Dade or in the state of Florida. What would your message be to that person?
Miami-Dade County is a safe space for you. We welcome you. We want you to be who you are and to love who you love.
Beautiful. Mayor Cava, I know you're very busy. I got here late. It wasn't my fault. It was because of the construction here on the Dolphin. Hopefully that finishes soon. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
For your leadership.
I appreciate it. And just say flan.
Put it there. Just say flan. Thank you. El postre oficial del condado Miami-Dade es el flan. Alcaldesa, te quiero dar las gracias por haberte unido a este movimiento. Todos somos flan. Muchas gracias. Aquí en Dade County se come flan.
Todo, sí.
¿Cuándo fue la última vez que tú probaste un strawberry shortcake?
Nunca.
¿Nunca lo probaste?
No, sí, de veras.
Es delicioso, it's good.
No, but it's just not that good. The strawberry is really the good part.
You're right, the rest is just...
just fluff.
Fluff, you're absolutely right. Flan is where it's at. And you see how many other mayors are now following.
Yeah, we're going to secede from the state over this flan
issue.
You think
we're going to... It's that serious.
Absolutely.
This is serious stuff.
This is really serious.
This is serious stuff. And the last thing, I always ask my guest on the podcast, I have my last guest leave a question for my next guest without knowing who the guest is. And the last guest was Bella. She's the only Latina on JoJo Siwa. She's huge. She's a million YouTube influencers. She has like 20-something million followers. And she put this group together of girls. And they're touring the United States. They're having a lot of success. She's a 12-year-old pop star. And what was her question?
What do you love to do more than anything? What are you best at? And... yeah, that'd be my question.
Well, I love my family the most, more than anything. What am I best at? I don't know. What am I best at? I think I've gotten pretty good at listening.
Mm.
Yeah.
And now, can you leave a question for my next guest without knowing who that guest is?
If you could be anywhere right now, where would it be?
Hola, my name is.
My name is.
Hola, my name is.
My name is.